Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. These are God's words. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Paul is about to give them an example of how he prays for them. We're going to see him finish the thought of, for this reason, I, at the beginning of verse 1, in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, the conclusion to that prayer is so full of amazement and worship at God for the glory of what he has done in Christ that we actually had that as our benediction, the blessing by which we were sent from the Holy Assembly this morning, or I guess this afternoon by the time we were done. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, and he's going to finish that. He has the three chapters of application to make to them, and he's going to say in chapter 4 and verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He's got some huge things to do with what he starts here when he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. But when he names himself and he says, I, Paul, and he says, for you Gentiles, he's overcome by the fact that it is he who is writing this, and it is to the nations, the Gentiles, that he is writing, that he pauses just to reflect upon that to the glory of God. And we'll take a few weeks in this pause, verses 1 through 6 this week and verses 7 through 9 next week, Lord willing. And this week, as we look at verses 1 through 6, we look at who it is that is the writer of the mystery, who it is that is the, who are the receivers of the mystery as it is being written, who it is that is the revealer of the mystery, and who it is who is being revealed, who is the substance of the mystery. First, who it is who is the writer of the mystery? It is Paul, his Greek name being Paul, his Hebrew name. He doesn't get a name change. Sometimes I hear that. That's a mistake. He has both names according to the ethnic background and linguistic background of those with whom he is talking. I, Paul, and he says, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Isn't it marvelous? Paul is in prison. He says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. And he looks around at his chains. But that's not what impresses him about his circumstances. What impresses him about his circumstances is what he is doing. He is dictating this letter to the church in Ephesus that is going to be circulated to other Gentile churches. He is conscious that he is writing Scripture by the Holy Spirit. We've studied that in the past, and that also is implied here, where he says in verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand, and that is now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. He expects that in Lord's Day worship in Ephesus, they're going to read the letter that he's writing as Scripture, just as they read the other Scriptures in the Lord's Day worship, and that it is the Holy Spirit who is giving these words. And he's just amazed, because here he is, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and he looks at that and he says, look at the stewardship of grace that's been given to me. I'm a prisoner for Jesus. Well, when we got introduced to Saul the Pharisee before he became an apostle, what was he doing? He was taking people prisoner because they were confessing Christ Jesus. You see the glorious turnaround from that to where he is now. So he says, if you have heard, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. And I wonder if in our most difficult circumstances, we who trust in Christ look at that, and by his Spirit may he grant that we would say, look at the dispensation of grace given to me. Whatever role we have, obviously it's not going to be apostle, and obviously you're not going to be writing a book of the Bible, but it will still be part of the carrying out of the work of the Redeemer in bringing his redemption and bringing completion to his plan of redemption in every part of the life of a believer, and giving us opportunity to serve him in all of the stuff we do, regardless of how mundane. We would not say it is right to desire to be in a stinky, disease-infested prison, as Paul probably was at the time that he wrote this. But it is right to see wherever God takes us in his providence as a dispensation of his grace to us, and to rejoice over the fact that if we're doing it by faith in Christ and as sustained by his Holy Spirit, it is exactly opposite how we ought to be doing it. So that Paul can remember when he used to take people prisoner. He says, this is exactly opposite what I deserve. Right? So we can one-up whoever the radio personality is, and maybe it's a bunch of them, that, how are you doing? And they say, better than I deserve. They say, opposite what I deserve. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of God's grace to me. And so here is the one who is writing it, and then the ones to whom it is being written. It's being written to the Gentiles. The Gentiles barely had any access to any of the Scriptures for over 1,000 years. And now they are having particular Scriptures written to them first, so that the church in Judea, in order to get a copy of the letter to the Ephesians, has to ask that Gentile church for that book of the Bible that's just been written. Isn't it extraordinary that those who were in complete darkness and didn't have the covenant of God and didn't have the promises of God, who were these strangers that Paul has been describing in chapter 2, they're now the first recipients of this part of the Word of God, the revealing of the mystery that was there in the Old Testament, but not so explicitly and not so abundantly. Of course, there's a couple of different ways that he means when he says, in which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Because they did have the Old Testament Scriptures, and the Old Testament Scriptures are full of the gospel of Christ, if we have eyes to see it, which are ordinarily given by means of the New Testament Scriptures. And yet it is the Spirit who gives both, isn't it? And there were men who had the promise of Jesus from their Old Testament, from their Hebrew Bibles. And they believed in Jesus. We heard about a man this morning in the class, right, who had the promise of Jesus, and he believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. So it's not that the gospel wasn't known. And it was to Abraham that the promise was made that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed, as we heard repeated to Jacob in our passage in the morning sermon, today. So there is a sense in which you have the fuller clearer, more abundant revelation in the word that is being given by the apostles and prophets of the New Testament church that he's describing here has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. But really the even greater way that this mystery is being made known is because the Holy Spirit has been poured out and he is bringing a great many to faith. Think about it. The Old Testament church, the Jewish church before Christ, they had a book that was full of him, didn't they? Jesus told their religious leaders, you search the scriptures because you think it's in them that you have eternal life, but it's they that speak of me. If you had understood the books that you were reading, you'd be rejoicing over my showing up like Abraham did, looking forward to it. Not hating me like your father the devil does. And so this is actually a second way in which this has now been made known. It was hidden before, now it's been made known. God, who is free to open the eyes and cause the scales to fall off, to use an image that comes out of this apostle's conversion, God, who is free to do that at his pleasure, is now doing it in much greater abundance through these scriptures than he had previously done with the Jews. And so you have Paul the writer, and the Gentiles the receivers, and the Spirit the revealer. And then, of course, Christ is the substance. Many want to say, well, the Gentiles being gathered in is the substance. And it's true, the nations are being gathered in. But the point is how they are gathered in. They're made fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. We knew from Abraham that all the families of the earth were going to be blessed, that God was going to be gathering the nations to himself. The main substance of the mystery is that happens unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was when Christ came that God's grace exploded, that he reserved that place for his Son. And so that as the nations are coming in, we say, look at how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is, that it is in him that we are made fellow heirs. You can't be fellow heirs with the Jews without Jesus, because he is the heir. Right? Romans chapter 8 and joint sufferers with Christ are going to be joint inheritors with Christ and jointly glorified with Christ right there in the middle of Romans chapter 8. And this is what he, I think, means when he says, as I have written briefly already in verse 3, because he did say in chapter 1, in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation or the stewardship of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. And so that's where he's going here. The substance is Christ. And steal a little bit from next week's passage, that this mystery was hidden in God. This isn't a mystery that just goes back to the Old Testament. This is something that goes back into the purposes of God to gather all things in his Son, so that when he does reserve for his Son that period of history in which the nations would be gathered in. And so I understand if you read commentaries on this, you're going to see a lot of folks who really emphasize, look, the nations are being brought in. And it is wonderful that the nations are being brought in. But I think the apostles' emphasis is, look, it is in Jesus Christ, the Son, that the nations are being brought in. He is the substance of the mystery. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for those things that you teach us that we would not have known in any other way except that you told us. We can see in the creation your divine nature and glorious attributes, and you have put on our hearts a knowledge of you and even a knowledge of your law. But this, that you were going to save us sinners by your Son and gather up in Him the whole family in heaven and on earth, this is something that we needed your Word to tell us. And we praise you for telling it to us. We thank you for the way that you used Paul to write it and made the Ephesian church the first ones to receive this portion of it, that we might rejoice and marvel at your goodness to us in glorifying Christ, that you have carved out a little piece of how he is glorified in the bringing of his redemption for each of us in our lives. So we thank you and praise you for what you did for Paul, what you did for the Gentiles. And we ask for the pouring out of your Spirit in our day, that he who carried along these apostles and prophets who were writing these scriptures, that he would open the eyes of many and cause the scales to fall, that we would see the substance, the glory of our Lord Jesus, that we would rejoice over the gospel, particularly because it is his gospel, that we would love the law because it's his law, and that you would make us to see him and his glory at the center of it all. Thank you that you and your salvation in your Son is the substance of this mystery that you have revealed. Help us, Lord, to see it, believe it, and live by it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.